So the first question, have you tried IV BibTeX or BibTeX completion lately on how it compares to eBib? Well, I would say that I use both. I don't think there is very much a comparison because for me, they're achieving different goals. Like when I want to just very quickly find the paper in the entirety of the literature, I can just go here and open IV BibTeX and see it. BibTeX now needs to parse my bib files, so it may take a second. Yeah, so if I want to just search, I'll do this. If I want a bigger view, then I can open eBib, but I don't use eBib so much as a tool to find just one literature. I use it for other purposes, so I think they're not really mutually exclusive, like you can use both, and they don't think that the features that one provides are something that the other also provides. They're different kind of goals for me. Also, for the answers, is it okay if I don't write anything now and I can just write them after when I have time? Now just talk.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll transcribe all the answers later, so you can just go ahead and talk.
And then, do you find sewing abstract on your navigation panel helpful? I always delete the abstract info in my bib files to make things more concise. So for me, I think it is helpful to see the abstract. I think that if you're in a regular screen, you have the space to have that. And yeah, for example, if I go again here, it's kind of indeed a bit longer than it can be. And then also if you find a bigger abstract somewhere, it may be more space, but like for example, this, yeah, this is a big abstract. And for example, yeah, this takes a bit more space, but I find it easy because the only case where I'm actually looking at this panel and trying to see things is when I'm going to be either is when I'm going to be trying to find something that I don't remember the title to search immediately. And if you don't remember the title and you're trying to search, the abstract will be a way that helps you search better, maybe. And also, the other thing they use is also the small little descriptions I add in the note entries to help me. But I think that the abstract is nice to be there in case you don't remember to find something from the title or from your notes and just need something more general. So, yes, it can be large and not always convenient, but I generally like it being there in case I need it for anything. Then the next question. Oh, also, if any question is not fully answered by what I'm saying, feel free to add more to your question and we can discuss more. I don't have a problem. So for the next one, yeah, I copied these from IRC because I preferred to answer it orally because it's a bit longer than the others answering in IRC. So it seems that there's a meta problem here. There's too much information. And does this tool reduce the cognitive load? Well, for me, it does reduce the cognitive load because indeed there's a lot of information, but that's how managing literature works essentially. Like it necessarily has to have a lot of cognitive load because you are trying to process more information than your brain can process to begin with. So you really need a tool to help you not keep everything in your mind, but process the information externally. And I do think that the way I do this, for me at least, it does help with reducing cognitive load because I'm here, for example, if I'm looking for something, I do not remember. I've read most of these papers, not too many months ago, so a lot of them are recent. If I don't look at what I have written for it, I do not remember anything. So indeed, you have this kind of cognitive load that I cannot remember everything. But on the other hand, I think the tool helps because my notes are what keeps what I want to remember. So it doesn't stay in my mind. It stays in the text. And regarding things like the reading list, I think also for me reduces the cognitive load because I will mostly remember what the papers I have in that list are, but just sorting them by priority helps me say, okay, this was the thing I wanted to do next. Also, sorry. This is the thing I wanted to do next, and I didn't have to remember that this is what I want to do next. I just had it, I saw it there. So for me, it reduces cognitive load, but the problem of too much information is 100% there because there's objectively too much information when you're working with literature. That by nature. And yeah, essentially that's for me the thing that I'm just putting this information elsewhere so I don't have to keep it in my mind. Okay, so when you download a new article, how do you integrate the file to the database? So for example, do you remove and rename the file manually? So for me, I also briefly saw that in the talk, but I did that very quickly, so it's understandable that it wasn't there. Essentially, when I download the article, then I will open Ivy BibTeX and find the article. For example, this one is the first. You can open the menu in Ivy BibTeX. It's with an Alt-O, and then it will give you this menu. And from here, it will say Add PDF to Library, and then it will ask from where do you want to add it. I don't recommend the URL because it doesn't download it properly sometimes. As I also mentioned that with Zotra, the URLs downloading things, especially with academic papers that are sometimes paywalled, it doesn't want to work well. So I will download the paper, and then you can just press the F here for file, and then you find the file. And for example, for me, all my PDFs are in this folder. It's still named Zotero PDFs from when it was Zotero saving them. Now Zotero no longer saves them, but I'm too bored to change the name. And then you just find the paper you want. You can see there's an endless list of papers here. And it then will automatically rename it to have the title of the author, small title, and date. I believe the naming is also configurable, but I have this notation in my config for many years now because that's how everything expects to find it, essentially. So I do not then move it. It's stored in that folder. I store all my PDFs in that specific folder, and then Emacs knows that all PDFs should be found in that folder, and it then just looks for the name that it expects to find, and Ivy BibTeX has renamed it automatically to that. And okay, I'll wait a bit to continue with that for moving to the next question. Ivy Bibtec has that functionality. And then annotations with e-readers. Viewing and taking an Emacs or Raider touchscreen, highlighting notes, Noder thing would be an alternative, ebook annotation alternative. So I do not use an e-reader personally. The only thing that I have is my tablet. I can actually show you. It's this little thing here. It's a Chromebook. The reason it's a Chromebook is that when I bought it a few years ago, it was the most viable alternative I could find that can run Linux as a tablet with good touchscreen. That was also a bit budget because there are some Linux tablets, but they were a bit too high cost for what I was looking back then. And this thing can, runs Linux essentially natively from the Chromebook. And I've installed Emacs there. It has all my config. And so for if I want to take touchscreen notes, and that I do it there. But again, that is in Emacs. So and it's mostly with PDFs. So I'm not sure if it answers exactly the question. So for if it's an e-reader, if it's, for example, a book, I know that if you have an EPUB, I think it's called the format for books, and OrgNoder can also read that. So you could also open the that file inside Emacs using OrgNoder and take notes. But otherwise, if you're not reading everything in Emacs, then it's hard to pass annotations from outside Emacs to inside it, because of course you have less interoperability in that case. But I think Emacs is featureful enough to where you can do all your reading inside it. And OrgNoder has a surprising amount of different formats where you can read things, actually. I hope it was clear if you want more on that, because I know it's a bit more a complex question, I guess, also with e-readers. And if it is an Emacs or not, feel free to add more. And how old do you feel about making notes on websites, PDF, videos? So I will agree to the with the other person that answered here. If you can convert something to PDF, I prefer it, because then you need to only worry about PDFs, and it works better that way than having to annotate websites. There is, I believe, I should have it in my bookmarks somewhere. There is the OrgRoom protocol that allows you to take notes directly out of a website, and it saves all the metadata of the website. I did look at it at some point, but I haven't really continued using it too much, because I find that I don't often take notes from a website where I want the more information than just either the link of the website, or if I want the full text converting into a PDF. So I haven't really found a very big use case for it, but I know that OrgRoom protocol is a thing. And then for videos is a bit of a longer story, because if you want to take notes on videos, that's a bit more complex. And I don't know of a way to do it in Emacs, but I also don't know of an effective way to take notes on videos using other tools. What I typically do if I'm following a video or something is that I will take notes of the more important things. I'll take notes of the more important things that I was listening in the video, and while I'm listening, I will take a some ideally crude notes, not because I don't want to lose a lot of my attention during the what I'm trying to learn by taking very good notes. So most of the time, those kind of notes will be in paper, even just very simple crude notes. And then and without any timestamps or anything, because that's too complex for what I've done. And after watching, I will try to consolidate all my thoughts that I wrote down into some more permanent notes using Orgrome. And then like move on with that. Also look online if I noted that I want to look more on this subject that was mentioned in the video and I didn't fully understand it, then I will try and look more and things like that. So for me, that's how I do it, because I think that annotating a video directly with timestamps and everything is a bit too complex. I don't know if you have any suggestions for working with that, but for me, it has been very troublesome. And then how do you add a new article from scratch, a PDF that you did not have in your bib file? How do you generate the bib entry, metadata, and abstract? So yeah, the package is called Zotra. I can also show it again. Let's find something and can open up. Let's not do that. If I open it, I need to access it through my institution. So I will not open the link, but I can show you. Essentially, you run a Zotra add entry, this function, and it copies what you have currently in what you have already copied. Right now, it's the message I copied before for the Q&A. But if you open a paper and have the URL copied, it will immediately come here and will save everything. And also, as I mentioned, there's the, you can also download attachments from there, but with paywalled articles doesn't always work well, so I just do it manually. Oh, system is running low on power. Give me just a second so the computer doesn't turn off as we're speaking. Yes. So yeah, everything is added from scratch. Essentially, you copy the URL and give it to Zotra and it does everything. When you fact check every details for a bib entry, your author names, published journal, DOI stuff. So I generally don't do that. Oh yeah, thanks for the person that added the link to the Zotra. I wouldn't say that I fact check the details. I assume that when they're added, they are actually correct. Have you actually had trouble with a tool that automatically adds them to add them wrong? I'm curious. I haven't really heard that happening too much. I've always thought that, yeah, if you do it manually, you need to fact check that you did it correctly. But I always assume that if you do it automatically through a tool, it should already be correct. And I don't remember ever having any trouble either when I was using Zotero before or now with more Emacs-based tools. I feel like the bib entries are copied correctly. I haven't noticed this being incorrect. But I'm curious, do you have any point on that? I will keep in mind.
Sometimes DOI records are not exactly correct. For example, they can contain some very strange symbols. So that can happen sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I guess then if you want to fact check, it's probably the best to do it directly as it is added. Like it's added, for example, here, and you can just directly, when you add it, find it and say, is everything correct here? Because I think that if you leave it for later, it will be much more of a mess. So for checking, I would just do it directly after I add it to the bib file. And let me see, is there anything else?
I think one common way it can fail is when the metadata includes HTML tags for mass, for example. And in some papers, for some journals, it can happen. So then you can imagine what happens when you try to put that citation into your references. That's going to be a mess.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know, to be honest. So yeah, thanks for the information.
I think our graph has automatic cleaning of certain things for common errors in the metadata.
How did you call that? I can note it down also here for the
discussion. Oh, our graph.
Or graph, yeah. Okay. So I will also put it down in the pad. And I think the next talk, the live will move in the next minute anyways, and I see we're done with all the questions. So thank you everyone, hope this was interesting. Thank you for giving me a lot of questions, so we had to discuss for the whole time and we weren't just here sitting. And enjoy the rest of ImacConf.